and welcome to the From the Field podcast, a series that takes you inside the Australian cotton industry. I'm Darren Davies, and this is Season 1, Episode 2 on the program today. Well, it's been a tough few years for many people around the world with COVID-19, natural disasters, war and economic stresses ramping up the pressure. In that time, conversations about mental health and well-being have started to become mainstream, with increasing numbers of people seeking help when times get tough. In farming communities, attitudes towards mental health and well-being are also changing. Farmers often deal with huge challenges with things like the weather, the cost of farming products, supply chain delays and labour shortages, adding pressure. And that's not to mention the long hours that come with running your own farm. In southern New South Wales, a group of cotton farmers have banded together to help address mental health and well-being. Joe Briggs is one of those farmers from the town of Collyamberley. He's passionate about well-being advocacy, particularly among farmers, and has helped set up a community gym in his town. It's seen great results with farmers getting fit and active while addressing mental health and well-being at the same time and really just coming together. So welcome, Joe. How are you?
No, I'm good. Thanks, Darren.
It's interesting times, aren't they? Obviously, the stresses and strains on everybody has become very evident over the past couple of years with COVID. Why are you passionate about mental health advocacy?
Yeah, so back in the drought, back in 2019, I was struggling pretty hard with the 0% water allocation, big outlays we put out, developing our farm to set up more for cotton. And, the financial pressures were really, really hitting against the door. So, I got involved with a charity bike ride, actually, called For Active Farmers, Ride for Resilience. And it took my mind off the drought and really pushed the positive mental health into a spotlight in our local community.
You're in the farming community every day. What are some of the stresses or some of the key stresses that cotton growers are experiencing?
Some of the issues are finances, like the cost of things and how much we've got on the line, the water availability and general drought, and also the public. Our job's already tough enough as it is without the fish kills and stuff like that, and people targeting us personally on social media about being the bad guy of the industry. It's stuff that you probably don't really need, but everything just makes up to really have a negative effect on your mental health. So, and also the isolation.
That's one thing I was going to mention. I don't think that people actually understand how farming can feel like a solo practice, can't it, out there?
Yes, no, definitely. So what we're aiming to do is try and get people off the farm, come in, run around, have a bit of a have an outlet that's not the pub on a Friday night. It's in a positive, healthy setting where you can really just create a positive headspace, catch up with the neighbors you mightn't seen for a while, and just let things go.
It's interesting you should mention the pub. I would imagine, being someone who's not averse to a pub visit now and again, that used to traditionally be the area on a Friday or a Saturday where people would check in and discuss some of the issues that were impacting them. Is that true?
Yeah, that's definitely true. It's I'm not shy to go for a sneaky schooner or two, but some people, if they're struggling, don't want to be out in public and don't want to, it's tough to sometimes their mental health, they don't want to, go out in the public. But, something like we're doing with Active Farmers is bringing the community to it. Like, you grab your neighbour and you drag your neighbour along whether he wants to go or not, sort of thing. And once they get there, they have a great time, if that makes sense. And we had been throwing on a barbecue afterwards, and we found if we had threw a barbecue on in the morning, bacon egg rolls or whatnot, everyone would stay around for another hour. So you'd be 45 minutes working out and then than an hour having a yarn with your neighbour and really getting that connection and catching up. So that was a real positive for us.
How difficult is it? Obviously, we have a strong representation of female farmers and male farmers, but how difficult in this context is it for male farmers to discuss their issues of concern, their stresses?
Yeah, the blokes are the worst to crack, I suppose, and that's the biggest problem with you know, a tough occupation and then tougher people. So if something's going wrong and they don't want to show weakness, and I think mental health's come a long way in the farming areas.
Women, and this is a generalisation, of course, but women seem to be able to, to come together and discuss their issues in a transparent and open way. But I don't see too many men doing that, whether they're in rural and regional Australia or in metropolitan Australia. I think sometimes it's quite difficult for them. And have you encountered that, or have you encountered the reverse of that?
Yeah, no, I've definitely seen a lot of men struggle with such a tough occupation. And tough people, and they've seen their fathers and grandfathers go through tough times and pull through it without saying a word, and they got through it. But we're in a different age now, and you know, a lot of people suffered back in the day, and now people don't have to. If that makes sense, we're trying to create a positive space, and some people don't want to talk about their mental health. That's fine, but. Tools like coming together with active farmers for a group fitness class, it takes the pressure off without actually solving the problem completely, but it just takes that edge off so they can slowly open up, if that makes sense. And you know, you don't want to just go in and say what's, you know, telling me 100% what's really happening, because people will go to the ground if they don't want to talk about it.
Okay, so that makes sense. So do you think that that's one of the strengths, is that you're able to come together actually in the context of working out in the gym and just having fun and connecting that way, rather than saying we're going to have a discussion about mental health?
Yeah, no, definitely. So we're actually doing two things. I'm sort of got my finger in two pies that when it comes to Collyambly. We've got the Active Farmers, which is a group fitness a charity set up by Ginny Stevens over in Mangapalar to help farming communities and farmers with their mental health and wellbeing. So we've got that happens once a week, a group fitness class there. It's blokes only. That's only a Collyambly sort of thing, because the women are very well catered for in our town as far as fitness goes. But I'm also the president of the Collyambly Community Gym, and we've just had a new gym built and hopefully open in the next couple of weeks. Which we've got 80-odd members at the moment, and we also let our sporting teams come in and use our facility whenever they like. So it's a real community hub, that gym.
How did that come about? Whose idea was that?
The community gym. Actually, there's a couple of footy coach and my older brother, who was heavily involved in the football club, got together and the idea popped up. That was about 7 or 8 years ago. And then I got onto the committee it must have been 7 years ago after it was sort of running. And about 5 years ago, I think we decided we need a bigger gym, and it's been a long 5-year process. We were lucky enough to get $500,000 worth of funding from the drought assistance, stronger community grants, and we've pretty much rallied the whole community around this to make it happen and put our project at the front of the line.
So how does it function? How does it work? Is it pretty straightforward? Can anybody join? How does that work?
Yeah, look, we're just a 24-hour gym. It's pretty basic. Anyone can join. We're very accepting. We're trying to make it as cheap as possible. Literally, our membership covers just to get the lights on and a bit of insurance. We've actually grew a community crop at the community demo farm. We've got a great little farm there that anyone can apply for a paddock. We grew a cotton crop last year to the year before to
raise some funds for the new equipment that we need to fill this space. So we were lucky enough to pull about 50 grand away from that. And that is all going towards new equipment. So it's, yeah, it's going to be a pretty good space to train and to have a break away from the farm. But it's not just the farmers, it's also the farmers' wives. We've got a couple of PTs that run classes. We actually don't charge them as long as everyone, all the members, all their participants are members. And so the farmers' wives, they've got a mums and bubs class in there. There's one for our seniors as well. Actually, that's becoming a hit. They're probably our highest number of participants per class, the ladies, but the senior ladies, yes. But you're finding a lot more farmers actually in the gym now than you did 10 years ago or in a gym, and if they can get to one. So it's definitely a mindset swing in the farming world.
Darren Davies here, just taking a quick break from the podcast to let you know how easy it is to discover more about the Australian cotton industry today. For farmer stories, interactive video quizzes, fascinating case studies and key industry information, head to cottonaustralia.com.au or search for Cotton Australia on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube and Twitter. Now though, it's back to the episode. How accessible are you, given you have a high profile in your local community? Do people simply pick up the phone and call you and have a chat about some of the issues of the day, or do you find that's more about the social gathering aspect where they have a quiet word?
You do get a few phone calls from now, every now and again, but it's mainly when you bump into people and that old school just, you know, having a yarn to someone one-on-one. It's something phones can't replace, I don't think. Like, it's and you really, you can see people's body language and they can't hide behind that. If there is, you know, they're telling you fine, they're not fine, and then, you know, you find out there's an issue. So it's yeah, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Now, can you – clearly, obviously, the confidential nature of what we're talking about here and the fact that we're respecting people's privacy, but have you had a situation where you've been able to really help somebody who's got a very present problem and help them through towards an outcome?
Yeah, I have. I think what I've done mainly is actually motivate people. You know, we've led by a bit of an example and made myself a bit vulnerable out a few times, and that people have acknowledged that, and that's what they've, you know, I have had one bloke break down to me and because he'd lost his brother to suicide, and he broke down and thanked me for the positive change that I made, or was trying to make. So but yeah, as far directly, I don't really know, but you probably won't know how much of an impact you've had directly to some people, because some people might be on the edge but never, you know, or really struggling before they have hard mental health issues, and they're just on the edge of that before they, and something like Active Farmers or the community gym is enough just to knock that down and bring them, you know, relieve them from you know, their mental stress.
It's a good point that you raise about being vulnerable yourself. Do you think that has led to some breakthroughs, because people go, well, hang on, Joe can talk to me about these issues and be visibly impacted by these issues, so I feel way more comfortable. Is that, do you think, part of the success for how you've moved forward with these groups?
You know, I think it is. It's I think my biggest tactic has always been that, like, I'm real. I'm probably the first one to swing past the service station and get a hamburger and a Red Bull just for smoko and keep me going. But and then, you know, I jumped on a charity bike ride and did 400 Ks, and you know, those two things don't, that lifestyle and those bike rides don't really line up usually, and people saw me being real and I could achieve a lot more goals. Oh, sorry, achieving a lot of goals in the fitness world. So I think that that made people probably accept me a bit more, if that makes sense.
It does, because being real is really what I've found our cotton farmers do every day is being real. So I would imagine that would be appealing to those people who need to have a chat. How do you see this moving forward, Joe? I mean, clearly you're making a difference in Collyambly and elsewhere. Do you see scope for doing even more?
Yeah, no, definitely. There's always scope to do more. There's always scope to do things bigger and better. Active Farmers, I don't know whether you know much about it. It is in 52 different communities across Australia. So I'm actually on the board of that since I did the charity bike ride with them in 2019. So I've just come back from Tasmania to support crew for the latest ride, which I had to pull out of. I wasn't able to ride. And anyway, you know, for me, they raised a lot of money. And but it's not about the money. It's just to see these people hop off their bikes, farmers, a couple of agronomists. You know, there's a lot of cyclists there as well. But they're everyday people that, you know, that achieve something. And their accomplishment and will help other communities across Australia either pop up and start new communities in smaller towns of active farmers, and which will in turn help more farming communities.
I've just had a look now at the website that you've mentioned, and there's something like, 238 classes per month. There's a real connection, is there not? Please take me through it with this organisation, between physical health and mental health, isn't there?
Yeah, that's well, that's what I had been previously living and breathing, like the physical activity and mental health, with the direct link. But once I come across Active Farmers and I jumped on board, and I previously said they helped me out with my mental health on the charity bike ride, you know, it was just a perfect fit. This is where my heart was, and I believed in everything they were doing. So and it's a real sense of community as well. Like, we had the Active Farmers Games in Collyambly back in 3 weeks ago now. And it was amazing. We had probably, 30 or 40 people from our other communities come across to ours, and there was, I think we had 90 people go through this Active Farmers course. And you know, to bring communities together and boost our local economy, as well as you know, a lot of people trained for the games, and you know, it's just a great positive mindset throughout.
Can I just ask a question? It's a personal one. Have you gone through your own personal mental health journey?
Yeah, been through some rough days, some pretty tough times, and yeah, it's when you're sitting on a tractor and drinking Red Bull and thinking about your overdraft to keep you going, it's definitely a better alternative to go to a fitness class once a week and jog it out. But yeah, it's not good if you're in a bad mental state and driving a tractor. It's and you're on in your isolation. See, in the city, you've just got to walk out your front door and you see people. But in the bush, you know, wouldn't see people for weeks. So
I think people helped you along the way.
Yeah, a lot of people have, but a lot of people haven't as well, and I'm trying not to be one of those people that haven't helped. So it's I think you really find out who your mates are when they can see you're having a tough time and that. So and yeah.
What about the people you've met along the way? Obviously, this goes beyond Collyambly for you. Have you met many people that have had an influence on you through this process?
Yeah, I have, and you know, a few people that saw me struggling that didn't actually really know me and so saw my struggles and actually took me under their wing and pushed me to a better place and to a higher place as far as could see some of the things I was trying to achieve in myself and for the greater community. So, but yeah, like for me to take on a 400-kilometer bike ride, I had to have a good support crew behind me. Like when I first did that in 2019, and you know, they, a few of these guys, they, one bloke rang up every man and his dog to get me enough riding gear so I didn't have to buy any. They found me a bike, and I think the local school teacher lent me his spare shoes for the bike, and it was a whole team effort to you know, to rally behind me and stuff like that.
It's an incredible effort that you have made and others have made. Do you see that that both concepts will continue to grow?
Yeah, I really do hope so. Like it's I'd love to see Active Farmers as a Australian household name. Like this drought that we went through, social media really got hold of it, and the media and put farmers that, you know, you talk to a farmer now down in Bondi and they know, oh, you know, how'd you go with the drought? How'd you go with the mice? How'd you go with this, you know? And they that everyone in the city knows that farmers exist, and whereas 10, 20 years ago, no one knew, you know, oh, do we grow cotton in Australia, or you know, do we grow that here? Or it's it was a great unknown. So now with all this positive of farmers in the media, we're just going to link it up with mental health, and hopefully everyone can, you know, people in the city can see that farmers have got just as many problems in, you know, mental health problems as people in the city, but we've got the lack of resources. And so, and you know, things, I don't know the exact stats, but it's alarming, the sort of suicide rates in regional centres. And what's even worse is the mental health facilities available. But in saying that, trying to drag a farmer from straight off his tractor into, say, a mental health nurse or doctor, that's a journey in itself. And so things like, yeah, Active Farmers is just that start of the road for someone, and you know, hopefully prevention is better than cure. So,
by the sounds of it, what, you know, the groups that you belong to and the actions that you've taken really help bridge that gap between the tractor and formalised support and help.
Yeah, definitely, and that's probably my biggest issue. You know, like I did get dragged along. I got dragged along to see a doctor about my mental health, and that was the first time that depression was actually real for me, was when a doctor, you know, I'd sat there at the doctor's office.
One thing you mentioned earlier, and I think it's important to revisit, you mentioned social media and the impact of social media. What you've also seemed to have pointed out is that social media can be good and bad. What's your message to those people who use social media in a negative way?
Oh, it's, I don't know. It's, I think we've probably all been guilty of using Facebook in a negative way, and it's some, I think sometimes we don't, generally speaking, as people, we don't realise what we do on social media, but it's such a great tool, though, that we need in our lives now, the way the world runs. But I suppose I think we probably should all just have a look at what we post and stuff, and try and be a little bit more positive in our posts.
Just looking ahead, on where we're going, is there anything that you can point to in the next 12 months that you're quite excited about with both of these organisations?
Yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to seeing if we can go next level. Getting into this new gym facility, it's been a long road. That's going to be so great for our community. We've also we've got a new CEO joining us at Active Farmers, and we're hoping he can take it to the next level. And yeah, really, we're forming some really good partnerships there as well. So hopefully we can, yeah, keep the good work going and the dream alive.
Well, Joe, it's been a pleasure speaking with you, and I wish you all the very best with both of these organisations and your future efforts. So thank you for joining us today.
Thanks very much, Darren.
And that's all for this episode of From the Field. Thanks to our guest, Joe Briggs, and thanks for your company on the podcast today. For more stories and information on the Australian cotton industry, visit cottonaustralia.com.au or head to Cotton Australia's social media channels. To hear other episodes of the podcast, just search for From the Field, and don't forget to leave a review. That will help get the word out about this series. This episode has been produced by Robert Virtue for Cotton Australia. I'm Darren Davies. Talk to you soon. If anything that we've discussed today has raised any concerns for you, help is available. You can call Lifeline on 13 11 14, where trained crisis supporters are standing by to listen and support you.